Well, Happy New Year, those of you in the Mountain Time Zone. Welcome to 2022. We'll be back with John Hogan in a minute. We've got more to talk with him about, and then we'll take calls on Coast to Coast AM with him. So don't go away.
Hi, this is Sarah Hanna, your master herbalist. I hope everybody's having a fabulous New Year's Eve. Blessings for a peaceful and prosperous year.
Thanks, Sarah. George Norrie back with John Hogue as we talk about prophecy. John, did Nostradamus see or say anything about a third world war?
Well, a number of things he did. But before we get to that, I'd like to just finish off on what we were talking about NATO, his prophecy about NATO. I mean, he called it Darton, which is D-A-T-A-R-T-O-N, which is an anagram for the Dayton Accords, which ended the war in Yugoslavia in the 90s. And Darton is a fleet and army that will fold up, that will withdraw, and a greater voice will substitute it. Now, what I'm hoping is going to happen, and it may even take a little military pushing to make the point if we in America and NATO are not listening, that eventually what can happen is a new architecture of security that will be the most significant since the end of the Cold War could happen with bumps on the road in the next 3 years. Now, to the predictions of World War III.
Oh, boy.
The thing with Nostradamus is that he has in my estimation, a very clear match that we all have to watch out. It's not Ukraine, not China. It's the third potential Cuban Missile Crisis that could happen this year, but it could happen in the next 3-4 years. There's a window for these dangers, and that is dealing with the Middle East. It always comes back to the Middle East, maybe because the Middle East harbors the three most fixated religions on doomsday, eschatological ends, and Armageddon. The other religions are not so into that. So anyway, the thing is that what I'm hoping is that 2Q22, that's the index, is saying that at least the beginning of the end of this standoff between NATO and Russia its beginning of its end may start with negotiations in February of this year. The danger is in the Middle East. There is a very real threat that the Naftali Bennett government in Israel is planning to strike Iran unilaterally, perhaps with U.S. help, perhaps with us lend-leasing some of our strategic bombers to hit all the nuclear sites in Iran. To do that, and they're already rehearsing it in the Mediterranean, the 900-kilometer play of this, they will have to pass over Saudi Arabia airspace to do this.
And they're going to need approval to do that, right?
Well, Saudis are actually in quite a secret alliance through the man who is really running Saudi Arabia, who I have stated in my books is Nostradamus' number one candidate for the third Antichrist, as Mohammed bin Salman, MBS. The acronym MBS is missing the two vowels missing in Mabus, the A and the U. But there's other things, many other things, make him after 27 years.
That's intriguing, John.
The most significant, because he's a world leader. The others weren't. And Napoleon and Hitler, the first two antichrists, were world leaders. So what would happen if that happened is a reduction of the area of the Persian Gulf to its, as Nostradamus calls, its pristine state, which means back to camels and sand dunes.
And no oil, right?
No oil. So we're looking at the potential of a strike on Iran, and Iran is another one. Don't think they're bluffing. They are not. If they're attacked, they will fire their thousands of cruise missiles and Shahab missiles. And I've seen the target plan, and it's it would be devastating to Israel, and of course the danger would be the Samson option might be considered And that would be Israel using its nukes. One of the major targets that are going down first is Dimona, the main nuclear center, where if you're going to attack the Iranian nuclear centers, you're definitely going to see Dimona, the Israeli nuclear center, turn into dust. And the problem is that the rogue nuclear power that brought nuclear weapons into the Middle East, destabilizing the Middle East, has been Israel since the 1960s.
This makes COVID look small, for crying out loud.
Yes and no. Unfortunately, it's the thing that everyone must watch, everyone who loves to be free, because this year, I didn't give you the motto for this year. This year is everybody either breaks down or breaks through. So they're already seeing some breakthroughs going on. People are pushing back on a lot of this draconian stuff, which is clearly over the top about COVID. People are resisting. People are beginning to question. We are a blessed land in America that our Supreme Court and its courts have had a really good stress test, and a lot of these draconian things are not getting past the courts. So, you know, this idea of people, community, a business of 100 people, and they have to all be vaccinated or fired, and it's just, you know, depopulating our police in Chicago and other places where crime rates have been over 700 people killed there. This is madness. And that brings into another situation. I actually was talking about this before the current administration even officially was put in. I'm talking about it on your show, George, is that, you know, I've been seeing, before it was very popular, a huge red tide of... I would even say today that the potential, if the current regime in Washington can't kind of find a way to find common ground with people in the Congress, I could see a situation where there may be 60 Senate seats going to Republicans.
That's huge.
Which it's huge. A filibuster-proof situation.
Well, 2024 is not too far away either. We'll get into that tonight too, John, with you.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that the two main figures that will probably run, actually, I'll tell for both sides, the two figures that will run in the Republican side are Trump and DeSantis.
Yeah, well, there's no question about that. What about
Hillary Clinton?
She wants to make another run again, I think.
You know, it's funny, in all the years that I've been predicting about her, even when there was all the controversy we had about her winning the popular vote and not against Trump, and that upset a whole lot of people, what I said, but I have not completely ruled out. It's always there, and I'm thinking, how can this be there? Will she become president through her own ability to somehow get elected, which is almost impossible when she's doing things, or... is it through the back door? Is this going to, like I was saying back in October 6th on our show, that the possibility of three presidents being picked or vice presidents, the current president going through a 25th Amendment issue over health, and then, of course, Kamala Harris, who I is, I would say, even more weak in the eyes of world leaders, which they're not happy about, than Mr. Biden, because Mr. Biden is actually, he's an old pro, he's a professional, he's, you know, he's in the Senate committees for, so he knew how to talk to Putin in the last few days. Hillary Clinton could be put in as the next vice president, and then it's hers. That's another possibility.
Well, that's interesting.
So the astrology is very, very wild, but unfortunately for Harris, she's just a non-entity in her astrology as a president.
Did Nostradamus see a pandemic?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this the question is, which one is the COVID? I'm kind of happy to see that it's generally doing what pandemics do, just like what happened with the Spanish influenza in 2018.
It mutates its way out.
Yeah, it literally mutated itself suddenly out by 1920. So I'm happy to announce that COVID is going that way. So that plague's going away. The plague of using it as a way to shut people down, that's the plague now we have to remedy. But again, this is the year of, the shut up is over. Now people are pushing back. And again, this is the good side about these bad things. You know, when you're irritated, when there's sand in your oyster, the oyster stops being sleepy, you know, and does something about it. Well, it makes a pearl out of it. But, sometimes the stresses that are being placed upon us are actually testing us to grow. And, of course, it's going to show, I mean, power does not. My experience of power, and I've had some very interesting experiences with it. You know, I did live in the Osho commune, the famous Ma Nanshila and all the stuff that she was doing with power. I knew her personally. So I've seen how power can illuminate in people a suppressed will to power that, for instance, if Adolf Hitler had just become a postcard painter, he would have never illuminated having power. He didn't have any if he was that postcard painter. He could have never had the power illuminate his will to power to become German chancellor and start World War II. So, you know, power does not corrupt. Power illuminates the corruption that happens when we come in as divine beings into this world, and the society that cannot understand what that is turns us into egos. And then if some of these egos get power, I mean, look at all these governors in the United States that are suddenly, without even asking their state senates or something, or following law, just suddenly make edicts. You're going to wear a mask. You're going to wear a mask forever.
You're going to get vaccinated.
You're going to get vaccinated, even if we're not even going to consider that you may already have immunity, which means we're screwing it up. No, we're just going to God as the governor of Oregon or of New York or California or Illinois has spoken. And isn't it odd that those states that have such totalitarian shutdowns are constantly having the highest cases of COVID? And the states that have been a little more laissez-faire, which means a lot of people are getting sick, but they're, long story short, you want to end this plague, everybody on the planet needs to get it. What's the good news?
And I think a lot of people do have it. They just have resistance to it.
Half the human race probably has natural immunity. I mean, I've lived in India when there were so many millions of people, day job laborers who literally had to walk in their hundreds of millions in crowded buses and all. I think the vast majority of the Indian population got herd immunity from that. The whole idea of trying to vaccinate this plague out of existence is a totalitarian idea. It has nothing to do with medical science.
Well, they're now saying too many vaccinations are maybe harming things.
Well, yeah. I've been watching Pfizer. I've been watching how Pfizer's one of its new board of directors used to be the head of the FDA. I mean,
what a conflict.
In fact, I would say it should be a law that if you are a watchdog of the FDA, in the FDA, you can never be a part of the people you're watching. It's like, duh.
And vice versa.
But, you know, that's why, so one of the great crises that we're dealing with, which is a stress point to change it for the better, to be positive about it, is that we're losing faith in our government systems, the FDA, you know, our political systems. This is always a precursor to great changes that happen in psychically throughout history, and we're in a big one in the 2020s.
Well, let me ask you this, John. The book of Revelation talks about end times. Does Nostradamus echo that?
Well, I often think that Nostradamus, being one of the last great Jewish prophets, he was Christian, but he was born Jewish,
mm-hmm.
and remained secretly a Jewish mystic, was a lot closer to the times than all the biblical prophets, which were far away and much farther away, and I contend that I think he has a clearer view of what may really happen. It's just, you know, I don't look at prophecy, just like with politics, I don't look at prophecy with the eyes of dogma and anticipation that all the religions put on their things. I look at it just, what are the words saying, like a child, I look at it and say, well, what does that mean if you don't have all this front-loaded, this is what it's supposed to mean, because I went to Sunday school, or I went to Friday Muslim school, or I went to Saturday Jewish school to tell me this is how you should think about this. I dump all of that stuff. That's one of my open secrets to how to do this.
John's website is hogueprophecy.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. After we come back after the break, we're going to take your phone calls here in the remaining half hour we have. Fascinating. But overall, thumbs up or down for 2022?
Well, my thumb's up.
That's good.
And if, you know, and if you keep your thumb down, you know, it's all in how you take this, what happens with the base metals of stuff coming at you. You've got to be a catalyst. Turn whatever's dark into gold.
That's so important, John. It really is. And when you give these predictions, are they based on current event knowledge or things that you feel, or both?
Both. It's a symphonic experience. You know, I have extensive, I'm tapped into what's going on in the world, long-term sources, really good sources, people that become subscribers of my Hogue Prophecy e-magazines, bi-monthly magazines. Well, I share my sources, some really good people out there who have consistently been accurate. So I'm also a gatherer of very accurate people, and then I give it that extra little subjective look.
Are you happy about the way the pace of the planet is going or not?
It's beyond an issue of binary happy-sad for me. I see it as the more the world changes, for the good or the worse, according to the seasons of ego's perceptions about it, I watch it in the center of what I call the Noah's Ark of Consciousness. That is, as the world gets more stormy, the eye of the storm inside me, the inner eye, becomes deeper, more blissful, and centered.
John, stay with us. We're going to come back and take promised phone calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. John Hogue with us, the expert on Nostradamus, the expert on prophecy. His website again, hogueprophecy.com, linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. We will be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, open lines begin. Holiday open lines. We'll take your predictions and just your open line calls on Coast to Coast. We'll be doing that next hour.
Hi, everybody. This is Coach Bob, hoping you're all having a great New Year's Eve and wishing you many blessings to come in the year 2022 and beyond.
Thank you, Motivational Coach Bob. Really appreciate what you do. Let's go to Tom in La Jolla, California to get us started with John Hogue. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi, George. I want to say God bless you, George Norrie, and your staff, and God bless every man, every woman in the audience.
Well, thank
Let's
you, Tom.
Bring in a great new year. And to John Hogue, may the God who dwells in your heart chakra, God bless you all of your life. And John, a comment and a very tough question that I'll follow with.
Okay.
I think the world, the public, thinks that we solved nuclear war in 1962. But really, we've had a number of in-your-face nuclear incidents since 1962. As an example, Pakistan almost launched a nuclear first strike on India in the spring.
I know, I was there in 1990.
Yeah, spring of 1990. That would have caused hundreds of millions of deaths in collateral damage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was in India. The MiGs were, my ashram was next to a major Indian Air Force base. MiGs
yeah, there you go. I mean,
time.
It's so you had direct experience.
I've survived the Cuban Missile Crisis and the Indo-Pak Missile Crisis.
Right, absolutely. And I think I look at our leaders, John, and whether conservative or liberal, right or left, Republican or Democrat, President Trump or President Biden, nuclear war is still on the table. And that frightens me. And I know, John, you don't have nuclear war in your heart. I don't have nuclear war in my heart. The audience doesn't have nuclear war in their hearts. But yet, I see it on the table. So here's the tough question. And again, I ask you as a prophet, not Nostradamus or Edgar Cayce, but you, John Hoag, the tough question is, next 10 years, nuclear war and or a limited nuclear exchange? And again, God bless you for everything you do, John.
Bless you back. Here's my answer. The most dangerous of the three potentials is the sudden strike of Israel on Iran.
Which is pretty imminent, I think.
It's potentially imminent for sure. It is the one that no one's really talking about, but it's definitely the one that could, it would take me an hour to go through all the prophecies of it, but basically it's the most prophetically thick possible trigger point where Arab allies of Russia and Arab allies of America, which would be the Saudis, the others would be the Syrians, over Persia, start this war in the Arabian Gulf, which is what it was called in Nostradamus' time. So that's one of the most sudden, unexpected, explosive, off-the-wall potentials that could cause the guns of August of 1914 with nukes. A Sarajevo moment with Israel and Iran, mm-hmm. causing that a month later. So that's the biggest danger. I'm hopeful, actually, that the Taiwan missile crisis will not happen because of developments that are going on between Russia and China, and also potentially India being a part of it, although a more neutral, sympathetic sideline to it. But these are three major powers that are growing in this new century, as America is declining as a hegemonic power. And sooner or later, it has to understand that we've entered a multipolar world, and hegemonic behavior, it will be its demise. Now, the reality is that China's got Russia's back, and Russia's got China's back. China's got Russia's back for Ukraine, vice versa, if
on Taiwan.
Stupid enough to attack Taiwan. And use Taiwan, by the way, like we use the Hong Kong kids, just for our own, well, just for Washington's interests. We gobble up countries saying we're going to support them and help them. We're saying that to Ukraine right now. And then we let them go off and fight and get wiped out, and we just use that for strategic maneuvers with our enemies. And the world's starting to push back, starting to wake up that, when America promises to hold its treaties and doesn't, and when it promises to come and help the color revolution in Hong Kong and doesn't, people don't trust us because basically we're not acting like good brokers. Our governments, not the American people. This has been a problem for a long time. So, we have never been closer to nuclear war starting in this year throughout 2025 than in all the history of the atomic age.
At least since 1962, right?
Since 1945.
Interesting.
When we actually were responsible for unleashing the first nuclear war on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We've already waged nuclear war, this country, on a non-nuclear nation. We have in our rules of engagement in nuclear responses a rule that Barack Obama actually put in, all the charm aside, put in that basically gives us the right to unilaterally attack nuclear, even non-nuclear countries. Now, all that kind of stuff is, I think, I'm hopeful because it's so close that, you know, it. I know a lot of what I'm saying tonight is really fiery and scary and all, but just try and consider to look at it in a different way. Take this alchemy of the base metal frightening things I'm saying and see the golden opportunity that it gives us. You know, a sixth mass extinction that's approaching us could be the catalyst to bring us all together and survive it. The fact that we're coming so close to nuclear war so many times may actually make people look up and, you know, smell the coffee. And, you know, the fact that so many real documented problems with these vaccines cannot be completely shadow banned and denied. You know, all hair on fire people on the side, which are many, I'm collecting stuff on my Hoag Prophecy articles, dated, documented source that really shows there's a lot of there. And so I am hopeful in this year that with what we went through in the last 2 years of being shut up and shut down, people are not going to follow that anymore. People are starting to get their spine back. And I mean that in a spiritual sense, awakening their chakras, you know, it's like my heart, my intuition, my gut feelings, and all of us have this. So back to this idea about happy or sad about the future, it's bigger than that. Happy and sad are just transitory things. This is about reaching a transmoral understanding of what's going down. That is, beyond what Nietzsche would say, beyond good and evil as we understand it, the bigger picture of this. And I see these, I mean, you were saying, the questioner was saying that we don't have nuclear war in us. I would like to differ with that. I would like to say you all have in you an atom of this present moment that if you split it, you will have the silent explosion of enlightenment.
I would have used it on Tora Bora when we knew bin Laden was hiding in that mountain.
Well, but you know why that didn't happen. You know, the whole, I mean, George Bush, a dozen days after 9/11, was already telling us this thing would last 30 years.
It almost did.
General Clark even was told and then told the world of how they were already planning to take down seven people. And in my books on Iran and the war prophecies there, I read out a lot of the manifestos of the neoconservative movement and neoliberal movements, and basically they're looking for Pearl Harbor events. They even said it. So those forces are freaking out right now because that Biden's even talking to Putin and actually had taken those two draft agreements from the Russians that they were presenting. They could have ripped it up in his face, but they took them in. Victoria Nuland right now is not having a good time, and a lot of the neoconservatives and neoliberals. So you know, these forces, when it gets more dangerous, these forces, these pustules will come to the surface for everybody to see. So I look at these situations, the pustule of war, the pustule of people taking the Chinese model and running with it in a way even the Chinese wouldn't do in the West. I mean, you got to understand that when the Chinese shut everybody down for a month in over Wuhan, as draconian as it was, it literally cut the whole country off from getting it. And they
their country. Yeah.
And they did this. And their motivation, no matter how Marxist-Leninist capitalist mixed it was to help their people. I look at what's going on in my country in America, or what's happening with friends in Australia and New Zealand, and this is not for the people, it's for power.
Oh, and they can't take it. Let's take a few more calls, John. We're almost out of time. Danny in Oklahoma City, go ahead.
Yes, happy New Year to everyone.
You too, Danny.
Just want to thank you, George, and your staff and John, many of your guests for all their contributions.
Thank you.
Really good program tonight. And I had a couple of comments. I do agree with John that I think the our administration here in the U.S. should make it clear to the Russian leaders that that we really don't need another NATO partner. I mean, if anything, we can enhance the ones that we have if we feel like we need a stronger deterrent. But having said that, I think at the same time, the administration could, they should encourage Vladimir Putin to do all they can to persuade the Iranian government. We don't need another, you know, nuclear capable. I mean, after all, it was Iran that has threatened Israel many times. I don't think Israel has ever threatened Iran.
Stop you there. Gotta stop you there. One of the biggest myths that's going on is because of a translation error in part Farsi, where in Persian,
which is what the Iranians speak, Farsi.
President Ahmadinejad was doing. When he said we will see it off the map, Israel, was a mistranslation. Press ran with it. Netanyahu ran with it, and his retort was quite specific. If you understand your Bible. He told the Iranians their response would be, think Amalek, the Amalekites. One of the most successful holocausts of one race eradicating an entire other race was in biblical times when the Amalekites were wiped out, man, woman, child, and cattle. So their response in biblical sense was far more extreme. And it was a mistranslation. But this myth has been going on, and this is how things get screwed up. The thing is so dangerous in our times is your media is not doing their job to show all sides. They are bought by the big pharma. They are bought by the military-industrial complex. And this is what is the greatest danger. Do not blindly believe anything you hear on your mainstream media.
I mean, our media right now should be over in Iran.
To CNN. Go ahead.
Our media right now should be in Iran and in Israel, interviewing both leaders to find out what the heck is going on.
Well, you know what's shocking? I watch, because the internet allows it, I watch all the media in Iran, in Israel, Russia, China. Global News. I think everybody should read Global News if you want to know what the Chinese are thinking about the world. It's their English language version of their main thing. It's all accessible. It's all there. But if you kind of lazily just sit every night and watch Fox and get that red tribal idea and watch CNN, get that blue tribal idea going, you're just being turned into a cult follower of one tribe or the other. You have the access that I have. You can actually read global. You can actually read and access the whole world's news, and you will be shocked to surprise how much more news and fair and balanced stuff there is in Russia than in this country right now.
Well, let's hope that the smarter heads prevail, John, and everything works out, my friend. What's your next project? Any new books?
Well, new books, and of course. I'm working on a massive Nostradamus rebuild for three volumes, about 250 pages in three volumes of the ultimate look at Nostradamus' prophecies. And I, of course, if you go to HogueProphecy.com, you can get a Zoom reading with me for 90 minutes. We can talk about your new year of 2022 and the things, how you can navigate it to the best alchemical result. And also, I've got my, for $60, you get 12 months of my e-magazine.
Okay, my friend. Thank you so much, John Hogue. Up next, Open Lines. And those of you on hold that wanted to talk to John, we'll check with you to see if you want to be on Open Lines.